I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 500 for Sunday, May 14th, 2017, are Terry Hawkins.
500? Holy crap, man, you talk a lot.
Jay Gilbert.
Hey, guys, I hear there's a virgin coming up.
And Danny D'Angelo of the Behind the Ears podcast, making his first appearance on the Diz Dad's show panel.
How we doing, everybody? Yes, I am the virgin of this show.
Well, we want to welcome you to round one of the Diz Dad's podcast quick service dining tournament. Tonight, we're going to be taking a look at the first round in what has been dubbed the Nobleman's Region, anchored by regional top seed, Earl of Sandwich. We have on this panel the sponsor, I guess you would call him, the captain who drafted Earl of Sandwich with a number one pick, Terry Hawkins. But before we dive into that discussion, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So folks who have been listening to the show for a while are probably familiar with our tournament style, our format here. Really works the same way as it's worked every year, going back to 2012 now. We'll get the two, a little bit of a description of the two contestants. Panelists will cast their votes, and whoever has the most votes advances to the next round. I only vote if it will make or break a tie. If there's a 2-2 tie, the panel is split and then I vote in a way that makes a tie, then we'll throw that out for a listener vote to figure out who advances to the next round. Gentlemen, is everybody clear on the way this works?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Aye, aye, Captain.
All right. So getting us underway then, since this is actually a bracket that's on the sort of bottom half of the bracket spreadsheet, so to speak. The first contest here is actually the 2-seed Captain Cooks in the Polynesian Village Resort, matched up against 15-seed Woody's Roundup from Disney's Hollywood Studios. So anybody here want to make the case for Captain Cooks?
Is there even a competition? Because I don't even know where Woody's Roundup is.
Neither does Disney. It's not on their list of dining menus.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Jay, you can find Woody's Roundup over in the Pixar Place area at Hollywood Studios. It barely qualified as a quick service dining location. Our rule was it had to have at least 2 savory dining items at the location in order to qualify as being more than a snack cart. And we actually even broke that rule, I think, with regard to one place. But Woody's had 2, I believe. It is pretty limited. It's over there in that Pixar Place area. I guess it's there.
Oh, I know where it's at now.
Yeah.
See? Just got to think.
Yeah.
As soon as you give that little detail.
There you go. Good. So that's the Woody's Roundup story. But, there is more to say about Captain's Cook than it's up against a patsy.
I actually Tonga toast. I agree. Yep.
you don't need to go really beyond Tonga toast. they do. They go way beyond Tonga toast, but Tonga toast. And it's very close location to a certain rummery.
Right, that's true. It is. It is the it's a place to grab a little something to eat when you need to maintain the base for an extended stay, shall we say, at Trader Sam's.
I like how they have the late night, like you guys were, touching on, the Toga Toast is fantastic, but it does give you that extra option. That was what really set me over the edge, was that late night dining option. Now, granted, there isn't a lot going on in their late night dining option, but it's still an option for when everything else is closed.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll get in other, regions of this tournament, some discussion of some other locations that are perhaps not such good choices at the end of a night for late night dining. Looking at you, Contempo. Okay. So that being said, I guess very quickly, is there any objection? We'll just do an acclamation here. Any objection to Captain Cook's advancing over Woody's Roundup?
Nope.
All right. I didn't figure there would be. So Captain's Cook.
Woody walks the plank.
Yep. Woody's in the drink, and we'll move right along to, a somewhat more interesting matchup here, because it's got a relatively unknown competitor challenging from the underdog's position. We have 7 seed Pizzafari against the 10 seed, the brand new, recently opened in Disney Springs, Polite Pig. So, I don't know, anybody here want to make the case for, longtime favorite Pizzafari?
It would be my choice, to be honest, because we've eaten there.
All right, so talk about it.
It would be somewhere, a lot of the picks that I'm going to make are places that I know I could take my kids and get something that they're going to eat and not have to worry about a fight or an argument, as to what they're going to eat. I haven't looked at the menu yet for Plate Pig, but the only thing that it would consist of is if there was bacon, Kaylee would be there. So
it's got cracklings.
Yeah, Polite Pig is a
Pizza Fari.
Yeah, Polite Pig is a barbecue joint, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's probably my wife and I. Perfect. My kids, probably not. So my choice will be for Pizza Fari because I can go in there and not have a fight about food.
All right.
Reasonable. Without even looking at the menu.
Reasonable issue. And, Pizza Fari, it's a safe option at Animal Kingdom. I mean, it has long been that one spot where you could always stop in. Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they no longer serve breakfast at Pizza Fari, which is a little disappointing to me.
They do not.
And that would have been something that I would have thought would be important. Now, Terry, I think you did a little bit of looking into Polite Pig as we were talking about it during the draft. What stood out to you about, what you see coming? Because obviously none of us have eaten a Polite Pig yet. It's been open for maybe a 2 or 3 weeks tops.
Yeah. And, there's a few things on the menu, like barbecue. You got to love a good barbecue. Had this gone up against Flame Tree Barbecue, I think there would have been more of a fight in my mind. But it looks like it's really good barbecue. It's got cracklings. I'm Canadian. I got no idea what the heck cracklings are, but you know what? That's just fun to say too.
They are heaven.
Cracklings, peel and eat shrimp, salmon, chicken. It just looks like a fabulous. That's just their snacks and salads menu, And right. Then they've got brisket and ribs and chicken and that smoked from the smoker and that. It looks like a fantastic menu. I'm excited to go there and try that. Hopefully with some of my fellow disc dads who are true barbecue experts. I'm kind of a novice in that, but
so we have a date for January, is what you're saying?
I cannot confirm nor deny that.
I'm putting it on my calendar for you. How's that?
We'll see. But I've been to Pizza Fari and I'd keep going. I know it's a popular place because it is one of the safe places for people who have, real picky eaters, particularly with the young children. It's a good safe option, but to me, Polite Pig takes this one by a long shot.
All right, so I hear that I've got a vote for Polite Pig from Terry, a vote for Pizzafari from Jay. So, Danny, we have our first close match here. It's going to go to your shoulders. What do you think? Is it the known hand in Pizzafari or the potential of the Polite Pig?
the only reason I am going to choose what I choose, and that is going to be the polite pig. And now, granted, it's question marks for all of us, but coming from the Northeast, I love my pizza. And when I go down to Florida, I don't care if you make it a flatbread, whatever you're doing, I avoid pizza like the plague down there. So I'm going to give the vote to the polite pig.
All right. Well, you know, had you chosen Pizzafari, I think I would have been forced to exercise my ability to make a tie. I know none of us have even eaten a bite of polite pig, but just based on the positive reviews so far, you know, as Terry had mentioned, what appears to be an excellent menu with you know, a wide array of choices. I've got to go with the polite pig. Pizzafari is serviceable, but to me, it's the same kind of stuff you could get from quick service really anywhere. There's nothing that is particularly Disney about it, other than the fact that it's in Animal Kingdom. And can we talk for a second about how it's a little bit of a convenient pun to call it Pizzafari, but it doesn't really say Africa anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
It's just, I don't know. If you're going to go all in, right? So I think we're going to call that for the upset. Polite Pig advances. That's our first upset with a 10 over a 7. And we move on to an Epcot battle. We have Katsura Grill in the Japan Pavilion against Liberty Inn in the American Adventure Pavilion. So, Danny, what do you think? Who do you want to make a case for here?
I'm going to go with the Liberty Inn here. Strictly on, I'd like the array of different things, you know, from Surf and Turf. I know they've have, and you know, they have your typical burgers and chicken and barbecue, you know, sandwiches. But I really fell in love with, last time I was there, I tried their grilled chicken with bacon and avocado, and it was just, it blew my mind how good of a restaurant it really was. And to me, it's like a hidden gem.
All right. Well, it's an interesting choice and a nice find there on the menu. I mean, it does have a variety of items, and I don't know that all of them stand up quite as well. But, you know, to be blown away like that, it had to merit something. I don't know. Terry, what do you think? Does he have it right?
No. Sorry, that's the pagan me, not the polite part. You know, I understand what he's saying, particularly with that chicken burger. That does look really good. But Katsura Grill for me, hands down. And I'm not a sushi fan. I don't eat seafood, but I've heard their sushi's fantastic. But what does it for me is the beef udon. Like, that is as close to what I would eat every day in Japan if I had the choice there. That was they do it really well. And then their beer menu is also excellent. I prefer their Sapporo, but they a lot of people seem to like the Kirin and the frozen Kirin drink there. So,
all right,
Katsura Grill for me.
So, Jay, we're going to come back around to you. We've got chicken bacon avocado sandwich versus sushi. What wins?
Well, first of all, I want to know why the Canadian guy didn't pick the United States, but that's not really a question. But I'm going to go with Liberty Inn as well, also for the chicken bacon avocado sandwich. And I don't like avocado on anything else except that sandwich. So that's going to be my choice, Liberty Inn.
Well, yes. You know, we now have had a walkover, we've had an upset, and a tie.
You're going to make a tie.
I'm casting my vote for Katsura Grill. I just don't think that, and I will admit to a certain extent that some of this vote comes from resentment at Liberty Inn, because I still cannot get over seeing that space as a missed opportunity. It just, you have an entire World Showcase full of restaurants that highlight the outstanding regional cuisine of the countries they represent. And the best thing Liberty Inn can give us are chicken fingers and a chicken bacon avocado sandwich. where is the homage to great American regional cuisine? This is like where it ought to be. Steak. All of those things. Exactly. That's a great example of something that ought to be there and isn't. So missed opportunity. I got to go with Katsura. And that makes it a tie, which we will then toss over to the listeners for a vote. So what do you think out there? Katsura Grill or Liberty Inn? Who deserves to advance to the second round? All right. So we get another sort of new guard versus old guard, or at least old guard versus revamped guard, with the 314 matchup. This is two counter service restaurants, quick service restaurants from Disney's Hollywood Studios. So, Jay, you've got Backlot Express or the rebooted Pizza Rizzo. What do you think?
I'm going to have to go with the Backlot Express. I can't pick two pizza places. And I already picked Pizza Fari. So we do try to avoid pizza as much as possible, as Danny said. Also being from the Northeast. And I'm going to take it back to when it was Pizza Planet. It was not the best experience. And for some reason, it always cost me extra money because Corey wanted to play video games. So we're going to totally skip over that place. Based on its previous information, not saying it's any better now because I haven't seen it yet, but we do enjoy the food at Backlot.
All right. So we've got a vote for Backlot Express. And anybody want to make an argument for Pizza Rizzo? I mean, I don't expect it to come from Danny because he's already told us that he avoids pizza.
Yep.
There's no way I could make an argument for Pizza Rizzo. I'm sorry. Maybe if it had been its original idea, sure, we'd all love it, but no.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if anything, this is another example of, you know, I can't support you because I'm not going to support the missed opportunity here. Right. Even during the redesign to Pizza Rizzo, they just took the easy route. There were so many opportunities to really go all in with the Muppet theming, and you know, they laid an egg. They didn't take advantage of it. So Backlot Express will advance. That's a chalk move there. Number three advances against number 14. And we move on to the much anticipated matchup here, because Terry actually drafted both of these restaurants into their respective spots in the grand S-curve. We have the 4 seed Hurricane Hannah's matched up against the 13 seed Electric Umbrella. So Terry,
why do you make this so hard?
You picked both of these. Make a case for one or the other.
All right. I can't make a case for Electric Umbrella. I couldn't even do it when I picked it. Hurricane Hannah's for me all the way. It's not just good food and absolutely fantastic drinks, but it's the setting. You're sitting out there, your poolside. The kids are playing in the pool. They can run back, have a meal with you, go back to the pool. It's just a great, great setting. And the banana cabana drink, and it's awesome.
Okay. Now, I do have to say, I mean, it's awfully isolated there over at Beach Club, and it's located at the Stormalong Bay pool area, so you can only get to it if you're staying at Beach Club. You can't even, it's not like Beaches and Cream where you can be walking by and go in. I don't know.
That's a nice thing about it, is that you can usually get seating there. You know, it's a nice, out-of-the-way place. You know, not only guests, because I've seen non-guests there, but you're right. Mostly guests are eating there, and that's part of the attraction for me.
All right. Well, now, Jay, what do you think? Do you have to factor in the cost of a room at Beach Club to decide what, how you would rank Hurricane Hannah's?
Can I abstain from voting, considering I won't vote for Electric Umbrella, but I've never been to Hurricane Hannah's.
You can. So
I don't know. I don't want to make an assumption on one based on Terrence's.
Right. Because clearly we know already that you don't necessarily agree with Terrence's take on these restaurants.
I just do it because he's Canadian. We don't agree on anything, but it's all in good fun. The only thing I can say about Electric Umbrella would be the air conditioning, but that would be it.
Well, now there's a little more to be said for Electric Umbrella. I mean, they do have free drink refills, and it's really the only quick service choice in Future World East. I mean, there is no other option. So it does have that going for it. It's an oasis.
I think I'm going to have to go with Hannah's just based on Terrence's explanation.
Ooh,
okay. I'll agree with him this time.
So no abstention. He's actually going to agree and go with Hurricane Hannah's. What do you think, Danny? Do you need to give me an opportunity to make a tie here?
I am, because as much as I enjoy Hurricane Hannah's, I don't like the fact that you can't go to it at you know, whenever you really want. You know, don't get me wrong, the Electric Umbrella isn't something to write home about. But, you know, two things that always caught my eye, and I'm a big foodie, especially when it comes to Disney, but the French dip burger combo they have there is something that's pretty unique. You don't see it in a lot of places. And also, it's one of the few places that actually has a sausage and pepper sandwich to go along with the free refills. So as much as I enjoy the ambiance of Hurricane Hannah's, I like being able to go to a restaurant whenever I want without dropping hundreds of dollars on a room just to eat at a poolside bar. So my vote is going to be Electric Umbrella.
Yeah, but you got to drop hundreds of dollars to get inside of Epcot.
But most of these places, you're dropping hundreds of dollars to get in anyway.
Well, now that's an interesting point. And the sausage and pepper sandwich is an interesting thing, because, you know, one of my great disappointments is the disappearance of that really fantastic sausage and peppers. Not even really a sandwich, almost a grinder that they had at Min and Bill's. That's not there anymore, and I haven't yet found it anywhere else. Danny, is the sandwich that you're talking about at Electric Umbrella, is it the sausage and peppers like baked into the French bread?
Yes, it is. Oh, at least that was last time I was there.
Oh, man, now I'm conflicted.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't think there was anything that could make me vote for Electric Umbrella, but that might be it. Okay, hang on.
Oh, come on. You got that beautiful aroma at Electric Umbrella there. That's
well, but if I'm shoving that sausage and pepper sandwich in my face, that would mask it quite well.
That was really good over at Min and Bill's.
It was so good.
But
okay, so now I have hang on. I'm actually looking up a menu here, because I have to see whether it's still there. Because if it is, even though I haven't actually tried it at Electric Umbrella, the nice thing about it is that since it's all contained within the French bread, I just don't see how you could screw it up.
You guys are killing me, because now I'm hungry for sausage and peppers, and I might have to change my vote. I'm not kidding.
Terry's getting nervous.
I will revoke your honorary Canadian membership here, you know?
What if I want it revoked? I'm just trying to get revoked. I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I'm far too polite to do that.
I'm gonna let Aaron make a tie and let the masses vote.
All right. I'm sorry. It's taking me a little longer to pull up this menu than I expected. Here it is.
Fine. Who has the bad internet connection?
No, the internet connection is fine. It's touringplans.com redesigned the dining part of its site and harder to get to the menus now.
Oh, were you looking for Min and Bill's?
No. I was finding Electric Umbrella, because I want to make sure. Now, see, they talk about it just as a sausage and pepper sandwich. They don't talk about it being baked into the French bread.
It just, the way when they served it, it really, and I know exactly where you're coming from, it seemed very similar. Not spot on, right. But similar enough where it had to sway my vote, because it's something unique inside Disney.
No, can't do it.
Oh.
It's close, but I can't do it. I haven't tried that one, and what I have tried and experienced is the unpleasantness of the late afternoon odor of Electric Umbrella, and it's enough to drive me away. So I'm going to stay out of this one, and we're going to allow Hurricane Hannah's to advance.
Hey.
Boo.
All right. So mild controversy there, but Hurricane Hannah's advances, and we get to a matchup that is a perfect example of the dichotomous options at Walt Disney World. We have, on the one hand, the almost completely unthemed single item option 12 seed Frontierland turkey leg cart.
Winner.
Matched up with the richly themed multi-window, lots of options Harambe Market, the 5 Loser. Seed. Well, Jay seems to feel pretty strongly, so Jay, make an argument for us.
I don't have to. I'm not going to, because I don't feel the need. I told you my choice. Plain and simple.
I'm going to piggyback, Jay. How can you go against a turkey leg card? I'm seconding that turkey leg card.
That's vote. How Northeastern United States people roll. We just stick together no matter what.
All right, Terry. It's 2 votes for the Frontierland turkey leg card. You going to give Harambe Market a chance to at least work its way into a tie?
Harambe Market, it's awesome. Your choices of real food options, not just one of those massive dino legs that Fred Flintstone walks around with. You know, you got ribs, you got chicken sausages, beef sausages, gyro flatbreads. It's fantastic. And the theming in there, you can spend a good 30 minutes going around just taking a good look at the ads that they've put up that all look authentic, and some of them will just crack you right up. You got the train that pulls by, and it's the best place to eat within, you know, what is it, 30 paces of the best bar on best bar over there at the Davo Bar. You've got your dessert in between with the Dole Whips, and that it's a perfect location, and it really, really does fit the whole African theming. It blends right in and just completes the experience of Harambe. There was always something missing from it before, and the market completes the whole theming of that village.
But it doesn't have turkey legs.
No, but it's got chicken.
It's not a turkey leg.
Well, it's not really turkey there.
Well, you know, turkey, ostrich, emu, whatever it may be. I still
better.
I still have got to side with Terry and go with the Harambe Market. We're going to have to go to the listeners again as another tie here in the 12-5 matchup.
I know why you're voting with Terry.
Well,
because he probably bought your bacon margarita or your bacon Bloody Mary last time.
No. Actually, I paid for those.
Where is that located?
That's true. Right next to the Harambe Market.
Steps. Hey, see.
This is true.
You go to one for breakfast, you go for the other for lunch, and libations in between.
Here's what does it for me for Harambe Market. It's really about the fact that it's the one of these two that is uniquely Disney. Look, we talk about how ridiculously oversized the turkey legs are, but the reality is you can get a great big oversized turkey leg lots of places. You can get them here at the Renaissance Fair. You get them at other amusement parks. You don't get Harambe Market any place but Walt Disney World. And it's got a number of food choices. They're taking some risks there, offering some things that are a little bit different and a little bit more exotic, things that people might not be familiar with, and they've stuck with it. They've been there for, you know, long enough, more than a year, that they're not backing away from it. And I really appreciate that. I want to see more of that kind of thing at Walt Disney World. So I got to say, you know, we'll let the listeners decide. And if the Q word nature of the turkey leg cart throws it for you, I get that, but I just can't do it. I can't make that choice.
I think I would have selected Harambe Market had it been anywhere else in this bracket.
All right. I get that.
Like, I think if it would have been 4, it would have been a no-brainer. If it would have been a 6, it probably would have been a no-brainer. I just think that hitting that spot right there, made it the hardest for me, when in reality it wasn't, because I knew what I wanted at that point.
And you know, look, I will admit wholeheartedly that I'm not the hugest fan of that, of the turkey leg. You know, it's not my favorite thing. And like I said, I can get it other places. So we'll just see. We'll see if the quintessential turkey leg cart can carry the day, but I'm going to have to let the listeners make that call. All right. So we've got two more matchups here in this regional to resolve. Next one ought to be close. It's an 8-9 matchup, and each of these has, you know, a strong positive and perhaps a significant negative. So, Terry, I know that we've heard from you quite a bit, but I'm going to come back to you because you're the one who drafted this one and you know, had some personal connection to it. So make a case for the Daily Poutine versus Gaston's Tavern.
There's no more pork shank at Gaston's. And that's pretty much that. Poutine, the poutine that they serve there is a good American poutine. It's not a great Canadian poutine, but it's a good American poutine, better than you'll find most places in the States. So I'm impressed with that. And the Fireball Sangria. There's a bit of a theme to some of my picks. But
All right. So the lack of a pork shank kind of dropped Gaston's Tavern from Terry's list. What do you think, Danny? Is there still something to say for Gaston's Tavern?
There is. I love Gaston's, but I'm going with poutine. You know, they have Labatt Blue. Let's be real here. It's a fantastic beer. I have to go there just for the Labatt Blue. So my vote is going to be the Daily Poutine.
Okay, so it's two votes for Daily Poutine. Jay, you going to save Gaston's Tavern here or give me an opportunity to save it?
Not at all. I'm going with the powers that be.
Right, well, it sounds like we've got a lot of you know, missing pork shank backlash going on here.
You can replace it with a turkey leg.
Yes, you can.
interesting. You hear us, Disney? You know, you could save yourselves here. You could advance to a second round, Gaston's Tavern. Just get a decent savory option back on that menu. I guess the beef stew doesn't quite cut it as a replacement for a pork shank.
You can't eat stew while you're walking around the park. It's a little hard.
I can't.
Turkey leg, you can just walk with it.
And it's even harder to club your unruly children when they're. Oh, sorry. Was that all loud?
If you don't have the bone from the turkey leg, you can't hit anybody with it. Yeah. I actually think Leslie shanked somebody in line for the mine train one time.
That's awesome. Broke it off.
Break somebody's leg.
You take it to one of those strollers going by too. Yeah. Runs into you for the eighth time, sticking the spokes.
All right. Well, you know, it's a tough call there, but I got to say, you know, as much as the giant maple cinnamon roll is one of my favorite, you know, sort of mid-morning breakfast snacks, I got to agree. I mean, Gaston's had such a potential there, and they really, I think, have again, a missed opportunity by not offering at least one nice walk around, grab and go lunch kind of option. So Daily Poutine's going to advance, and we get our 1 versus 16 matchup. And this one actually surprises me a little bit as a 1 versus 16. I kind of feel like there might even be some upset potential here. We've got the 16 seed Main Street Bakery facing off against Earl of Sandwich in Disney Springs. So, Terry, go ahead and make the case for your one seed, because then I want to hear from Danny and Jay on this one.
Well, I think if Main Street Bakery was back what it used to be, serving real coffee and proper cinnamon buns, this might have been a fight, but for me, Earl of Sandwich, it's a must stop every time, every trip. Holiday turkey sandwich. You know, there's other things on the menu, but that holiday turkey sandwich takes it every time for me. It's not a Disney trip without one.
All right. All right. So Terry makes the argument for the old standby Earl of Sandwich. Danny, you going to argue with him?
No, I'm going to agree with him. I am not a Starbucks fan at all. You know, and I know they have other items, but Starbucks just seems to really have taken over everything going on in there. And if it was the old style Main Street bakery, I absolutely would have jumped on board because I am not the biggest fan of Earl's Sandwich. But to me, this is not a competition. There's just too many more options available at Earl's Sandwich compared to Main Street Bakery.
All right. All right. So, Jay, is the Earl of Sandwich going to get its clean sweep victory over Main Street Bakery?
Yes, it is, because I agree that Starbucks has taken over and ruined the Main Street Bakery. I also prefer the holiday turkey sandwich at Earl of Sandwich, minus the cranberry, because I don't like cranberries. So.
Oh, so now we're special ordering, all fancy-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When it's the number one seed, there better be the ability to special order.
Okay, so a quick advance for Earl of Sandwich.
You're not going to fight us on that one?
Oh, no, I can't really fight you on it. I mean, look, I will admit that I enjoy that holiday sandwich a lot. I'm not, I'm kind of with Danny. I'm not in love with Earl of Sandwich. I do enjoy it. It's not my favorite. And especially these days, there are so many other things in Disney Springs that, you know, kind of are shouting for my attention that I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be harder and harder to find an excuse to go to Earl of Sandwich. Because I'm not going to spend that much time in Disney Springs. And there are plenty of other options that are more attractive these days. But that said, you know, I don't hate Starbucks, but there's not enough compelling there at Main Street Bakery anymore to convince me, especially as a quick serve location, as opposed to just a coffee shop.
The best part about Earl of Sandwiches is if we fly out of Philadelphia, there's one in the airport. So we get it before we get to Disney.
But see, to me, that's actually an argument against it.
It is. I totally could see that. But I just can't put it over Main Street.
Well, and that's the perfect example, right? So the argument against Earl of Sandwich is that you can get it other places, but now you can get the same stuff you can get at Main Street Bakery other places because it's just Starbucks pastries.
Correct.
And at that point, really the only thing left that Main Street Bakery has going for it is that if you're using a dining plan snack credit, you can, you know, basically get the biggest, fanciest coffee drink you want, and you don't pay any more for it than you pay for just a, you know, plain black coffee, because it's the same snack credit, and you can get just about anything for a snack credit.
The only thing it has going for it is it's on Main Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
That too. Although even at that, I find that more often than not, I notice that it's crowded at Main Street Bakery, and I'll just head back to Gaston's and get my coffee there.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, Aaron, because, you know, when it was Main Street Bakery, you'd line up there, right? It's like, oh, well, I know there's a line, but I'll wait. Now that it's Starbucks, it's like, oh, there's other places. I'll go to see if I can get something at Casey's. Or
oh, my. Like, you can do better than Casey's at breakfast.
You can eat Casey's at any time. Let's be real.
All right. Well, let's just do a quick recap of how this first round then in the Nobleman's Region shook out. We started with Captain Cook's versus Woody's Roundup. That was an easy win for Captain Cook's. We had the Old Guard Pizzafari against the newbie Polite Pig, and in a maybe somewhat surprising near walkover, Polite Pig advanced against Pizzafari with only Jay holding out for Pizzafari, and really only because he didn't want to listen to his kids whine. We have a somewhat surprising tie in the 6-11 matchup. We're going to be waiting on the listeners' vote in Katsura Grill versus Liberty Inn. Backlot Express, the clear winner over the not enough of a reboot Pizza Rizzo. Hurricane Hannah survived a surprising challenge from Electric Umbrella. And we have another tie here in the quintessential Frontierland turkey leg cart versus the new school creative Harambe Market in Animal Kingdom. Daily Poutine takes out the anger the panel has for Gaston's Tavern booting the pork shank. And so Daily Poutine advances perhaps a little more easily than expected over Gaston's. And finally, Earl of Sandwich advances readily over the Starbucksified Main Street Bakery. Before we walk away here from the show, anybody have anything they want to add, anything about any of these matchups that surprised you or came out sort of differently than you expected?
How the turkey leg did not win, I will never understand.
And see, I knew that was I knew that was a solid choice, picking the turkey leg cart, because like you said, Aaron, you know, if you like turkey legs, you love them and you're getting one. But for the rest of us who are not turkey leg fans, we'd prefer the Harambe Market over that one. So that's going to be a fun fight to watch to see what the listeners say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Anybody want to make any last minute pitches one side or the other for Katsura Grill or Liberty Inn before we turn that over to the listeners?
I think Liberty Inn would go far above and beyond if they added the orange iced tea slushy that they have at Food and Wine.
Oh,
that was amazing.
That's a game changer.
I actually found the recipe for it, and the one bar in town has the slushy machines. They make it now.
So Jay actually brought it home.
I did. It was incredible. I mean, absolutely.
And they don't serve it.
They don't serve it all the time. It was only during Food and Wine, and it was at the cart outside.
Whereas you can get real flavor over at Katsura Grill every day.
Yep. But the food turns me off. I'm not a fan of that style. So,
right. Well, and that's true.
That's
going to have an impact on this listener vote too, because if Japanese food isn't your style and you can't find something there you enjoy, it's going to be a hard vote to cast. On the other hand, I happen to think that there's a pretty broad variety of options there. And I appreciate the fact that there are some different things on the menu than, chicken fingers and burgers. So, all right. Well, you all have heard what we have to think about these. We'd really love to hear what you have to think. And on a couple of these, we need to know what you think. So you can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. You can visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. And we will have these polls posted at dizdads.com. They'll be easy to find, and right there on the page, just cast your votes in these two tied matchups. We need those results so that we can continue with our tournament. Until next time, I've been your host, Aaron Rittmaster, with Danny D'Angelo.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. It was an absolute blast.
Terry Hawkins.
Hey, I'll vote for my picks because Jay drank all my rum.
And Jay Gilbert.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Where's rum gone?
Wow, you guys teamed up on me on this? Really? I'm glad Danny was here to have somebody have my back.
And Danny, before we get away from here, real quickly, let people know where they can find the rest of your work, and because you're involved in the Disney fan community, and Behind the Ears podcast is another great listen for Disney fans. So where can they find you?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, once again, I am the host of Behind the Ears Podcast, along with my co-host, Chris. You can find us on Facebook, Behind the Ears Podcast. You can check out our website at behindtheearspodcast.net. If you guys would like to join the show, you can always email us over at behindtheearspodcast@gmail.com. We go live 3 times a week at 9:45 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we release all our shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Podcast Addicts or iTunes, whichever you prefer.